All right, my task is to talk about state actions towards single payer. As Jonathan and Claudia both made clear, the real solution to the healthcare problem, at least the initial solution, is a national single payer program on the model of an improved and expanded Medicare. Ultimately, we should have a national health service, in which, as Martha said, I developed one model of it based on an expansion of the community health center model in this country, which is working very, very well in many communities in this country. Okay. Well, that doesn't work. Okay. There. Okay. No. I have no financial incentives, one way or the other, in this business. Okay. So the key features of single payer, I think, were probably familiar to most of you, but let me lay them out. They were published in a journal 10 years ago in the American Journal of Public Health, along with a number of very valuable papers that I think are still worth reading. The concept is that every universal, meaning everybody's in, nobody's out, in Clinton Young's memorable phrase, comprehensive coverage of all necessary medical care. No out-of-pocket expenses. We have not, as a PNHP, as an organization, or others, talked enough about this as a really important feature. It's somehow, in America, it's mainstream, taken for granted that you have to have co-payments in order to keep down costs. But there are various things. I have a student who's looked at the across the European, the OECD countries, mostly in Europe, and compared those that have cost sharing with those that don't, and there's no difference in their overall level of spending. Cost sharing keeps people from getting care, but does not save costs, not save money. the concept would be a single nonprofit insurance plan. The Canadians have shown that you can very successfully globally budget hospitals on a national or provincial basis, and eliminate much of the administrative cost of running a billing system. Free choice of provider, since everybody's in and most physicians will be in the system. And finally, no for-profit healthcare providers for the reasons that people have previously discussed. I won't go into it too much more here. Okay, so why state-level action? Well, a lot of us are organized to advocate for single payer. We face, though, a situation, of course, where the Congress at the moment is hopeless. The idea of trying to get action through this Congress is laughable. There are many active organizations, and they're local. All of us live in localities where we want to be active and want to push for what we believe in terms of an improved Medicare healthcare system. But finally, there is just more generally, if you look at the American political structure today, the idea that we will get national unity towards a single-payer system anytime in the near future strikes me as somewhat unbelievable. With 30 states unwilling even to take free money from the federal government to provide medical care for their low-income populations, it's really a long stretch from the 1960s when Lyndon Johnson was able to push through the Congress a national Medicare program. So we need to find things to do besides work on a national basis. I would add one other thing that became sort of clear on yesterday when we saw that even Fox News has recognized that there is wide understanding of what we single-payer supporters have been saying for many, many years, which is that single-payer is ultimately the way we should go. It's the cheapest, most efficient, most effective way of giving people access to care. We've won that argument. What we haven't won is the politics. And we need to work where we can make some political difference. And that's basically the reason why in many states across the country, particularly I guess what you'd think of as the blue states, single payer advocates are working for single payer at the state level. Now it's obviously a compromise. You need some of the federal money because the federal government, particularly with the passage of the Affordable Care Act, will be providing almost half of all the money in the healthcare system. And so that money is essential if you're going to be able to provide healthcare to your population, even at the state level. So you have to have a way of incorporating federal money into it, and that requires incorporating all the federal programs that provide that money, from Medicare and Medicaid to the community health center subsidies to mental health subsidies to the WIC program and other things. So it's clearly a compromise, but it's a level at which many of us can work and can organize. This is a guide that was prepared, just published about a month ago by Public Citizen, which basically identifies the issues you face when you're trying to do state-level single-payer. I'm not sure I would put pass a law first, but this is a table of contents of this book. It's got a 22-page booklet worth reading. You need a waiver from the Affordable Care Act. The law says that in 2017, states can propose alternative ways of financing health care than through the private insurance exchange mechanism that the ACA provides, provided that the new system provides equivalent access to care. So you need to move towards a waiver in 2017. You need to develop a strategy for integrating a state-funded system for those who are now getting private insurance with Medicaid, with the state Medicaid program, and with Medicare, as well as with other federal programs that provide financing. Then there's the workers list. There's workers' comp. There's other health benefit programs that you want to incorporate. So clearly, this is just another way of saying you're making a compromise when you try to get a state to create something approaching a single payer system. You can get a state. It seems to me that you can't get a real single payer system at the state level. You can get close to universal coverage. You can get, and that's the real goal. Single payer is the best way to do it, but we may, you know, given the current political situation, we may have to accept that we won't get that a real goal till the politics of this country is transformed. So, in a number of states, there have been a great deal of activity. I put New York first, although I certainly can't claim that New York has been the most successful. The state assembly in New York did pass a single-payer bill in 1992, but the state senate didn't, and the legislature has never passed a single-payer bill since. However, we did, working with the chair of the state health committee, state assembly's health committee, Richard Gottfried, who is also a member of PNHP, we did develop a new plan about 2 years ago that we now have majority support in the state assembly and significant support in the state senate. So we are organizing in New York, but can't show any the one thing we don't have is broad public visibility for it. We have the legislature willing to vote for bills, but one of the things that the California experience showed, and I'll refer to that in a second, is that when it looks like it's going to pass, the whole politics changes. In California, they've been active for more than 20 years. There was a referendum back in 94, which failed due to a huge amount of funds being put in the referendum campaign in the last few weeks by the insurance companies. Their legislature did pass the legislation twice, single-payer legislation at the California state level, but it was in a context where the governor, Schwarzenegger, was assured to veto it. Now that they have a Democratic governor, the legislature won't even consider a bill because the politics has not yet developed in California enough to provide the necessary support. Massachusetts has had legislation introduced that would create a single-payer system in Massachusetts and so on. All of these bills are modeled on the national legislation, H.R. 676, which Congressman Conyers introduced and which nearly 90 members of the Congress have co-sponsored. Unfortunately, none of the states have we had really significant success, except in Vermont. In Vermont, there's been organizing towards single payer for nearly 20 years. There have been step-by-step expansions of access, almost universal access to health care financing for children. And in 2 years ago, in 2011, Governor Shumlin, was elected on a platform that he would support and sign single payer legislation. What they've done in Vermont it seems to me an interesting approach, which is not to fight the ACA but to use it to achieve our goal of universal coverage in an efficient quasi single payer system. That is, the ACA sets up, requires that the states create an exchange. The feds now call it a marketplace, but it is, or in the case of Vermont and in the case of New York, a state agency whose function is to facilitate the financing of healthcare. And so what the people in Vermont are doing, I would say, is they're trying to create lemonade out of this lemon of the Affordable Care Act. They're trying to use the state's power to regulate private insurance to move towards a single payer system in 2017, and the exchange is being used to streamline, simplify, and regulate the private insurers. For instance, they require that all individual and small group insurance now go through the exchange in Vermont. It's called Vermont Connect, not just people who happen to be uninsured. And they're moving towards simplifying the system, towards standardizing benefits, towards standardizing reimbursements, and as I say, using the exchange to create the framework for single payer in 2017. They also need the exchange in order to get the federal money that comes with the ACA. If you don't have an exchange and don't have the subsidy structure, when you go to ask for your waiver in 2017, you won't have a basis. The state wouldn't have a basis for requesting the federal funds that would be equivalent to the subsidy money that's coming to them. It seems to me this is an interesting approach. I analogize it to experiences I had and saw in the 1970s when advocates for energy conservation and renewable energy used the public utility commissions and the ability to have public pressure on them to get the private utilities to move towards an energy conservation regime. And I think this is similar, using the exchange as a state agency in which there's potential for public pressure and public influence to move towards the single-payer system or the quasi-single-payer system at the state level. And so they have to deal with many issues. As I said, it's very complicated to try to get a single-payer system in a context where you need half the money to come from the feds. One of the things we did was develop a set of principles for what, how an exchange should behave and move toward, so that it will help the process of moving towards a single payer, basically encouraging simplification, standardization, reduction of administrative costs, and ultimately moving towards a nonprofit single payer system. Thank you.